How is everybody tonight? It got really cold. We were doing so well, and then it got really cold today. I think it's going to snow a little bit tonight. Well, thanks for being here. What's that? It is, isn't it? Oh, I need to move somewhere warm. I need to move to Hawaii. After tonight. Okay. Well, I think I've met most of you. I'm Jill Shelton. I work for Kay, and every once in a while, I work for you. You are my boss. I'm working off Minnie, a 7-year. Just kidding. I'm a servant for 7 years. I'm in year 3 of 7. So. So I have the privilege of teaching tonight. So let's see. How did I start this morning? It's different because we sing. And we do. I think I should start by praying. How about that? That's always good. I could. Funny you'd mention that. I'm a terrible singer. But let's do pray. Lord, good evening. We're so glad to be here tonight. To learn about you and to come together and study. Would you please open our minds to what you want us to think about tonight? Open our hearts to what you would like us to feel. I just ask that you would guide this lesson and our discussion this evening so that it is meaningful and that ultimately it draws each one of us closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we get to talk about, I feel like I've done a lot of the really gruesome lessons. We did the sacrifice, all the sacrifice stuff last year, and then last time we did the wineskins with the animal hide. Yeah, and then that was kind of fun. That wasn't so gross. I did bring those shoes. So yes, welcome back. So tonight we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 1. And it worked out really neat because I got to write this lesson with my friend Molly. And so we decided the lesson was supposed to be about cleansing the leper, but we really wanted to back it up and start a little bit earlier because this story has a really neat structure. There's these two bookends, which we talked about in the homework, where we start out with the place where Jesus is, and then we look at the place where the leper is, and then the leper gets to move to a different place, back into community, and Jesus moves out of community. So I wanted to kind of include the whole thing. So let's pick it up in verse 35, Mark 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Here's what I love about what we see. We see Jesus modeling a behavior. He gets up very early in the morning, and he spends time with his father. He's practicing his father's presence. And it seems that he comes out of that time with a much clearer sense of what it is that they're supposed to do next. And he says, "We are going to go so that I can preach there." So Kay mentioned this when she did the intro to miracles a couple weeks ago. But, you know, the miracles and the healings and the casting out of demons, those are all things he did with a purpose of authenticating his divinity. Really, the reason he was on this earth was to give a message of the kingdom, a message of salvation, to help mankind understand how to bridge the gap between them and God. But if he just had only said things, it wouldn't have been as effective, right? Anybody could go around saying the things and making the claims that Jesus made, but he backs it up by performing these signs and wonders, which could only happen through the divine power of God. And we go on in verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him. Now here's where I want to stop. And we really only have three verses here, but these three verses are the crux of this story. And the interaction that takes place in these three verses is so important. But I realized, you know, I have read this, and we've got two accounts in the Gospels where Jesus heals someone of leprosy. So we have this story that we're doing tonight, and then the story of the 10 lepers, which we will have later this semester. Now, it's presumable that Jesus healed many lepers. Leprosy was a big problem at the time, and at one point you read about Simon the leper. Well, Simon the leper probably didn't have leprosy anymore because he's hosting things in his home. So it's quite possible that he had been healed. We just don't have the account of that. But a man with leprosy comes to Jesus, and I realized I know very little about leprosy. So I began to read about leprosy. And some of this was in the lesson. Today it's referred to as Hansen's disease. But did you know leprosy is still around today? I didn't really know that. 95% of us are immune to it, so it's very unlikely that anyone in this room would contract it, even if you were exposed to it. But especially in the third world, it's still quite prevalent in some places. And the one figure I read said there were something like 1 million cases of leprosy at any given moment, maybe double that, because most people don't have access to a doctor to get diagnosed and treated. So it's still a problem. So what I want to do is start off by looking at some present day stories of real people who have leprosy so we can understand what that means. What a big deal it would be to be inflicted with this disease. So I'll tell you just a couple things about it before we start the video. There we go. Okay, so leprosy, and I feel like, David, you should do this part. We have at least one physician in the room. You probably don't treat leprosy, right? Has anyone ever sent you a picture like this and said, okay, see? Okay, so leprosy, it's a bacteria, and what it does is it attacks the nervous system. It attacks the nerves. And so what happens first is people lose feeling, and especially in their extremities, and they begin to self-inflict wounds without meaning to because they can't feel normal things. Like washing the dishes or doing manual labor, they can't feel when it's time to stop. And so they end up making the wounds worse and worse. And at some point, the leprosy begins to invade your organs. And it can also gets into the bone marrow, which then causes things like losing whole fingers, or many times losing whole limbs. It eventually moves into the face. You'll notice that some of the people, their faces are very disfigured. It can attack the tissues in your eyes and render you blind. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible disease. Now, today, it's treatable. In 1982, I think, is when they came up with, it's like a pill pack from what I saw. It's a very treatable disease, and once you treat it, you can stop its progression, but you can't reverse the effects of what it did to you. But back in biblical times, of course, there was no treatment. There was no way to stop this disease from running its course. So let's take a few minutes and get a better sense of what this really is like for a person. Let's hit the lights maybe, and we'll just check the volume.
นิคมพุทธหงส์มีหน้าที่ให้การสงเคราะห์ดูแลช่วยเหลือผู้ป่วยโรคเรื้อนปัจจุบันมีผู้ป่วยที่เราให้การสงเคราะห์161คนแล้วก็สมาชิกด้วยอาจจะเป็นสามีภรรยาบุตรหลานนะครับรวมแล้วก็ประมาณสัก 6-700 คนครับผมทั้งหมดที่อยู่ในนิคมครับผมปัจจุบันนี้เป็นผู้ป่วยที่ไม่มีเชื้อแล้วจากเมื่อก่อนนี้แบบว่าเขาไม่ค่อยมีความรู้เรื่องเกี่ยวกับโรคเรื้อนนะครับผม ก็มีการรังเกียจแต่ปัจจุบันนี้รอบๆนิคมความรังเกียจตรงนั้นลดน้อยลงแต่ว่าถ้าเผื่อระยะห่างไปเป็นต่างอำเภอซึ่งเขาไม่ได้คุ้นเคยตรงนี้เขาไม่รู้จักตรงนี้มันก็ไม่แน่อาจจะมีความรังเกียจ
คุณจะอยากตายมันเป็นหนองเล็บคนเขาว่าเป็นหนองทางเล็บมันแล้วมันก็เป็นมันเกล็ดเป็นแล้วคนหนองแตกแตกมันก็ไม่หายตอนนี้ก็ดูก็มันก็เลยยกไปดูยกไปยกไปดูกันดูไปยกออกมามันเป็นคือละข้อละข้อพอมาเป็นหนึ่งข้อนี่ไม่เป็นไงว่าแต่ก่อนมันหลุดทีละข้อนะโลกข้อมันก็สั้นมาข้อก่อนตอนหลังเราเดี๋ยวนี้ถ้าจะทำยังไงดีวะไอ้ข้อมันจะเอากลับไปเลยก่อนแล้วก็นิดเลยกลับไปนิดนิดไอ้ผุผุนั่นออกมาพอเนี้ยผุผุนั่นออกก็ไอ้ที่ตรงที่ไม่มันมีเนื้ออะไรมันก็มันเลือดมันไหลเจ็บเจ็บเจ็บแล้วก็คางคางคางอยู่คนเดียวอยู่ข้างอยู่นั่นข้างนี้ตามข้างนี้เป็นต่อ
We can leave him off for a second. I'm going to do one more video, but I'll just say one thing. So I hope we get a sense from the clip, the physical of the disease is horrible. But so is the emotional, because these people are so cast out and people are scared of them. I mean, the doctor said the people that live in the colony are non-contagious. They've been treated. But it's more comfortable for them to live in this colony than it would be to live in normal society because of the terrible treatment that they would receive. Now I want to show you one more story about a little boy with a little bit different outcome.
My name is Nilu Sunar. This is my story. My mother died when I was 8, and my father died when I was still in my mother's womb. Around the time my mother died, I started getting wounds on my hands and on my feet, and I found it hard to walk. I went to see the village witch doctor. At night, he chanted over me, threw rice, and lifted me up to heal me. However, I became even more ill, and my hands and feet started to seize up. Then I was told that I had leprosy. When they found out I had leprosy, the other people in my village made me live on my own because they said my illness was contagious. I wasn't allowed to play with the other children. I used to cry and cry and felt so depressed. I thought the leprosy was going to kill me. I used to think about committing suicide by falling from a cliff, but I was just too scared to go through with it. When I went to INF's clinic, I was given medicine and clean clothes, as my clothes were in rags. The INF staff touched me and cleaned my wounds. They put my feet in water and washed them. I was overwhelmed by their love and care. I'd never experienced anything like it.
A star.
I went to a Christian fellowship for patients and staff and got to know Jesus. Now that I know Jesus, I feel that I know the true God. Nowadays, I work for INF in the kitchen garden. I train patients how to grow vegetables and how to protect themselves from further injury. I'm thankful to God for the great things He's done in my life. I had no way to earn a living, no food, nowhere to live, and I was alone when I arrived as a boy in tears. God has blessed me with a home and a family. I have a wife and 4 children. I'm able to earn a living because of my work with INF. My children are doing so well in their studies. God has done great things for me, and I'm so thankful to Him.
Isn't it sad to think about a little boy who hasn't been touched for so long? I mean, we hear about when babies are in orphanages and they don't get enough physical touch and they develop attachment disorders. And he said when he came there, they touched him and they cleaned his wounds. And it struck me this morning as we watched this that if it wasn't for his leprosy, he wouldn't have met Jesus. So there's something so sad and so beautiful at the same time. But the reason I wanted to show those is because it's a horrible, horrible disease. You've got the physical infliction, you've got the emotional infliction. I mean, you could hear that from these videos. But then in biblical times, there's another level, which is that oftentimes leprosy was believed to be brought on because someone was cursed, either by another person or by God. If you go back in 2 Samuel, there's a point when David is cursing Joab's house, and part of that curse is, may your family never be without a leper. And in 2 Chronicles, God actually causes Uzziah to have leprosy. So here you are with this disease, cast out from society, and we'll talk in a minute about just what that meant in biblical times, because you would have been considered unclean under the law. Feeling horrible, and then on top of that, feeling some horrible sense of self-hatred or guilt that maybe you've done something to bring this on, or that someone in your family did something. So now, let's read the account. Verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him, and I want to make a note here. So this account also shows up in Luke and in Matthew, and you know, Luke was a physician. And Luke includes an important word. He says, a man who was full of leprosy came to Jesus. He was full of leprosy. The woman that we saw in the beginning, she was full of leprosy. She had had it so long that it had taken almost her whole body from her. This man comes who is full of leprosy. And he gets down on his knees. And Luke tells us he got down on his face. And he gets before Jesus and he begs. And he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He knows that Jesus has the power to do this thing that would totally change his life. So he's bold. Now, the fact that he shows up and gets there is a very big deal. Here's why. Let's go back and look at Leviticus for just a moment. And let's see. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 13 if you have your Bible. And if you've ever tried to read through the Bible from beginning to end, this is probably about where you stopped the reading plan because it gets so weird. Chapter 13 is about regulations about defiling skin diseases. And so I do want to read the part about leprosy. So here's what's funny. In those days, if there was something wrong with you, if you had a medical issue, you would go to the priest. So the priest was a priest, but he was also a doctor. How would it be if we went to Pastor Doug or Kay or Bob and said, I've got this rash or I've got this throat thing? That's what they did. So the priest then knew all these things to look for. And in the case of these skin diseases, you know, you would look for what kind of bump is it? What color is it? Is it eczema? Is it psoriasis? Or is it something like leprosy? So if we go in chapter 13, let's go all the way down to verse 44. And this is talking about the leprosy, which is the worst skin disease. Very contagious at that time. So this man is diseased and he's unclean if he has leprosy. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes so that if you were to see them at a distance, you would know that you need to stay many, many feet away. They would let their hair be unkept. They would cover the lower part of their face and they would have to cry out, unclean, if anyone came nearby. Can you imagine having to call out the thing about you that you are most ashamed of out loud in front of the world every time you come near another human? As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. And at that time, there was no treatment, so they would remain unclean for the duration of their life. They must live alone, and they must live outside the camp. So in some cases, they would live with other lepers. But maybe you're the only leper in your little village or town, so you are totally alone. You cannot be with your family. You cannot have community. You cannot participate in any of the religious festivals or services. You have to live in isolation. There is a reason that they do solitary confinement as a punishment, right? We are made to be in community. God is community. He's a Trinitarian God. We are created to be in community. So what a horrible, horrible thing to be completely isolated. So the fact that this leper has the guts to come through a crowd, he's breaking all kinds of rules in doing this. He's potentially infecting these other people, but he knows that Jesus has what he needs, and so he does it. And he comes to him, and he begs. He is desperate. And there's something about his attitude that I love. He's so broken, and yet he's so sure that Jesus is his one shot at the healing that he wants. And we'll read the story of the woman with the bleeding problem in a couple of weeks, and she does the same thing. She breaks all kinds of purity laws to get to Jesus because she wants to beg for her healing. So he has this encounter with Jesus. And now we read, Jesus was filled with what? Compassion. Your translation may say Jesus was indignant. Does anybody have one that says, okay, that's very strange, right? And it bothered me too. So I did a little bit of reading, and really there are manuscripts that read both ways. I'll tell you the Greek word looks really similar. It's not a completely different word, but we don't know for sure what the original Greek word was in the very, very oldest manuscript. At some point, scribes started changing it. But I did read something that was helpful. If indeed that word is indignant, it's not that Jesus is indignant toward the man. It's that he's angry or he's hurt that this kind of hurt exists in the world, that there's a man begging before him like the people that we just saw. So for tonight, we're going to go with Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately, it says immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So he's filled with compassion. Sometimes Jesus heals people and credits it to their faith. And other times he heals people who have no faith. There's really no formula. But in this account, the text is so clear that the reason Jesus heals him is because he was filled with compassion. And I don't know about you, but watching the clips, I felt some amount of compassion, as much as I'm capable of feeling, right? So how much more could God, the one who created us, our Father, feel compassion? And he felt compassion. And so he made this man clean. And by doing that, not only did he heal his physical, but he restored him to community, because now the man can participate in life again. So Jesus does something strange next. It says Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. It's a strong warning. The Greek word here, it's actually like a grunting. It's a very strong language. And Jesus says, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." This is interesting. Jesus does this several times where he tells someone after he heals them, don't talk about it. Go straight home. In this case, he tells him he wants him to do what the law says to do after you've been healed. So I think in the homework we did have you look at Leviticus 14. It's long, so we won't read it tonight. But that talks about the process you would go through if you had been healed from a skin disease or if the disease was gone. So you would go back to the priest. And in this case, the leper is going to need to go to Jerusalem to go to the temple to go before the priest, which is probably 50 or 60 miles from where he is. So not only was he healed of the skin disease, but imagine if that disease had been inside his organs, he's fit now to make a 60-mile journey. He gets a total healing. So Jesus is saying, go to the temple and show the priest that you have been healed and go through the process that the law prescribed. So the person would go to the priest again. The priest would inspect them. And then there was this cleansing that would happen. And there's a sacrifice that happens. And it's highly symbolic. But that's what Jesus tells him to do. And he tells him to do it as a testimony to them. He wants the priests to see his power. Because at this point, the priests are the ones who are not buying that he is the Messiah. They're the ones who want him dead. So Jesus gives him this instruction to go do that. Jesus is also showing that he upholds the law, which is interesting. He's respecting the law, and he's saying, go finish the process. But what does the man do? The man does what probably I would do and probably a lot of people would do. He's so excited about what happened that he can't help but tell everybody about it. So instead, in verse 45, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Now here's what's interesting. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. So in the beginning of the story, we have the leper outside in lonely places. He's outside of the camp. He's far away from everybody. He encounters Jesus. Jesus makes him clean, restores him to community, and now Jesus is the one who must be out in lonely places. And from this point on, you'll notice there's a major crowd control problem. Now, And not just because of this, but because of what Jesus is going around doing. There are crowds coming every time he enters into a town. And it's like all he can do to get away from the crowd. So he's constantly moving toward the sea. There are times when he gets in a boat and physically moves away so he can have some space. So why does Jesus say that? Well, I don't know. I don't think we know. Maybe he was trying to slow down the clock. He knew he was on his way to the cross. He knew that. Maybe he was telling these people, don't talk about it, because he's trying to slow down that process. But what's interesting is that the man did not obey. But it's understandable at the same time. So I've always wondered, when we read these accounts and we read about someone being healed or when a demon is cast out, I'm so visual, and I've always thought, what was it like? Like, what was that moment like? Does Jesus just touch the person and then sort of happens and then they move away from each other? And I would like to think that it's more loving than that. I mean, we're told that Jesus was filled with compassion, and that's why he does what he does for this man. And so I don't know if anyone has seen the movie Risen. Did anyone watch? It came out at Easter time last year. Risen, it's a great film. It's on DVD now. If you haven't seen it, I really recommend it. Different from all the other Jesus films that I've seen. But there's a wonderful scene, one screenwriter's interpretation of what that may have been like, how Jesus may have encountered someone like a leper. And so I just want to show that to you, just to give you one idea of what that may have been like.
Did you know he would rise?
He said he would, but truth be told, we doubted it.
Then what made you follow him?
He's going to do it.
Do what?
He's going to heal the man.
How?
Watch. Just watch.
No one touches me.
A miracle. We saw them many times, Roman. That's why.
I love how he embraces him and he kisses him on the head. And he's not afraid to touch him. He never shies away from anything. So that's what I had to offer to you tonight. But I'm guessing that you might have some thoughts. You're always such a good group to have a little discussion. So how about if I sit down and you offer your thoughts or questions and we'll talk about it for a moment.